This episode is brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief. Welcome to The Last Storm. My name is Mark Flatt, and I'm calling in from the Pocono Mountains in Pennsylvania. Today, as always, I'm joined by my brother Dave. He's calling in from Maryland at the banks of the Potomac River. Thanks for joining us. Here we go.
As far as the Thunder, though, I still remember the first game I went to with the Thunder. Like, I still remember it. And it was just like one of those things where, like, this team sucks. Like, this team really fucking sucks. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was there was a little bit of future because we had, you know, KD. But, like, Russ as a rookie, bro. I mean, Russ as a rookie looked like a baby running around in diapers with the basketball. Like, it was really fucking awkward watching. You know what I'm saying? So, it's weird watching this game last night that we were watching and seeing how this team, without Shea, without Dort, without Giddey, without any of our really five starters for the season out there, it's crazy how this team plays, knowing that we're looking at this team in a completely different way than we did, 12, 13 years ago.
Yeah, but not really that differently. Mostly, here's what's changed. Like, we have belief that the process will bear the fruit of a Western Conference finalist and maybe go to the finals and win a championship, right? But, like, you think back about what we did see with Russ and KD and that squad. I mean, they fired their coach mid-season, PJ Carlissimo.
That was like 12, 13 games into the season,
Yeah, it wasn't very deep. Yeah. And they brought, I think, that's not a good feeling to have, right? So you bring in Scotty Brooks, and he's a first-time coach. And honestly, not a lot of people really had confidence in him, especially if you listen to, like, the Sports Animal. Like, they did not like him there, and it's just a lot of trash. So, like, here we are. We're in a different spot, but now you're seeing guys like Poku and Bazley go out there, and now they're required to create in a way that was similar to Russ as a rookie in his second year. Really, really difficult. But the reason we're seeing it happen is because the belief the coach has in these young guys. And that's what's similar, and that's what I love about it.
Yeah, and it's fun. It's fun watching them mesh together. And even though without, you know, four or five of our starters, it was still kind of interesting to see these guys play. I can hear the other podcasts, and I can hear the other people talking about Oklahoma City, this being the worst loss of their season. But the fact is that if you look who we didn't have on the floor, I don't really care. And the fact is that now we're, you know, a game away from Detroit from being behind us. So we play them coming up here soon, and then we play again Magic. So I don't, like, this isn't, these aren't like must-win games for us. We talked about this. We were at a point and halfway through the season, Mark and I were like, "Ooh, we want to win all these games." You know, we were at a point, right around the All-Star break that we're like, "Ooh, this is fun to watch. This is great to see. These guys are playing all well together, playing separate together." And then it was just like, you know what? This team isn't going to make the playoffs. So, yeah, getting wins for confidence is great, but, you know, watching how this team played last night, it wasn't discouraging to me by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all.
It was a little frustrating because, like, knowing that we had a star player that could go out there and just destroy Orlando, like, it was rough because it was like, we needed Shea. Oh, we could have used Dort. Dort would have scored 30 points easy, you know? Like,
yeah. But
those are the things that I missed.
If SGA plays, then we care about winning a lot more. Like, losing this game is really insignificant. And for us to get to see every other guy go out there and take all those shots and, you know, be relied on, that's where we get a lot of, you know, positive feelings from this. If SGA went out there and we lost to Orlando, I would not have as many positive feelings because I would feel like for his sake, we should, you know, get some more wins. But if he's not playing, like, he's not going to be, you know, upset with a loss. Like, it's not going to be a positive thing, but it's not going to be something that he expended a lot of energy and he's discouraged. So in that way, like, I was really happy to see him, like, sitting this one out. I'm hoping it was, you know, just like I heard it was ankle soreness. Is that what you heard too?
Yeah. I mean, we won't really know what it is. So
that's a big difference between sprained ankle or something like that, right? If it's just a little soreness,
yep,
then I don't feel very concerned. And so I can be like, yeah, this is a good place for us to let the other guys go. And I heard Coach Donovan talked about the Magic being more in our weight class than the Heat. And I think that's an appropriate reaction. Is you sit your star player, you give those other guys a chance to go toe to toe with, you know, players that are more their age. And that was fun to watch. I mean, the Wagner brothers, you got Mo and Franz, like those guys are fun to watch. Cole Anthony is really fun to watch. Markel Fultz is fun to watch. You've got Mo Bamba who knocked down a three. He's fun to watch, but really, the thing about the Magic is they've got talent, right? They just haven't figured out how to put it together. And that's a little bit like what we saw. But for Wendell Carter Jr., he put up 30 on 12 of 15 shooting, and he picked up 16 rebounds. So for him, like, he carried them. And for all, I mean, he's been a player in this league for a few years now. He's earned a lot of respect. He's, you know, been able to do it in a team like the Magic, throwing him the ball time after time. It's a good challenge for our guys to go out there. You know, we played well enough to win, but one factor, we didn't close the game. But we've gone through so many, you know, facets of that where you go, okay, we didn't close this one. You know, what do we need to do to get better? Well, okay, now we don't have all these guys. What did those guys need to do to get better? So the closing, that was in question. But what I loved was our offensive ball movement.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it really was. I'm looking at Poku's numbers, man, and I'm scratching my head because Poku had a plus 17 on his game last night, and he shot 3 for 20 on field goals.
Yeah, it was very good.
I've never seen someone have plus 17 on 3 for 20 field goals. I don't know exactly how that's even plausible, but 7 points, 5 turnovers, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 5 assists, 7 rebounds, 2 of which were offensive. The reason I bring him up was before the game, I don't know if you saw it or not, the interview that they had with Coach D before the game, where he mentioned that he wanted to start playing Poku at center, kind of experimenting with him there. Did you see that part?
Yeah, man. I didn't see it, but, you know, I heard you talking about it, then I heard them mention it, and yeah, dude, you've been talking about it for a while.
I think it's something it's looking at, something worth circling and looking at, because, again, I think it's about how much pounds he can add on. I don't think it's abnormal for a player to come in at his age and look like, skin and bones. I don't think that's, you know, abnormal. So we really don't know what his body's going to turn out to be like. But if Coach D has been noticing him putting on weight, maybe this is something that he's seeing that we're not yet.
Yeah, dude. And he's a real threat at some point to have a 5-by-5 game. And what I mean by that is 5 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 5 steals, and 5 blocks. If he can do that, there's very few players. I think the last player I remember going 5-by-5 was Andre Kirilenko for the Jazz. Certain players have the ability to go out there and impact the game in a different way. And I think Poku is starting to show that promise of a player who can do a lot of things like that. You know, he did have 5 turnovers, so we'll give him a solid 4-by-5. But, you know, anyway, I thought it was a good game for Poku other than those shots missed. He showed some real, real great passing. Do you remember that one pass he had to Teo on the fast break? It was a no-look behind the way spin. It was something. It was especially like the pass itself was unique, but going full speed like he was and to put it so soft on the money, that was awesome.
And that's why you hear a lot of other broadcast personnel just rave about his knowledge of the game, is because the passes that he makes, the stuff that he sees, sometimes it's even a turnover, but the announcers are still like, holy shit, did you see that? Like, it's still, to me, it's so raw, but it's something that I consistently go back to and say, like, can I put him in a box of saying small forward or power forward only? No, because there's so much unknown about his game and his knowledge is vast. And because of that, there's a huge question mark of, can this skinny 7 foot with a 7'3" wingspan truly become a power center in the NBA. I don't know if he could become a power center, but I would have never said, I would have thought that Giannis would have been a power center either, a power forward in the NBA. I would have probably laughed at you after the first time I saw Giannis play if you would have told me that he would be the best player in the NBA in a few years down the road. So again, where to put Poku on that? I don't know, but I'm excited and I enjoy watching him play. I enjoy watching his style and his game continue to grow into what it is. You know, but last night, man, the first half, I loved to watch Lindy Waters, man. This young man is really surprising me. I'm all on the Lindy Waters bandwagon, man, because anytime that you have a shot like he does, with as little as basketball as he played in college and stuff, like, to me, this is exactly the type of player that I get excited about, because reality is that at 6'6" with a shot like he does, man, every team needs a player like him.
Yeah, he really creates enough space by his liftoff, and he has a high release, and it's a really a pure shot. And that's the other thing that, you know, opposing announcers consistently mention, is that he's a pure shooter, and he has not done enough in this league to prove that. And he really didn't play enough G League games and shoot, you know, enough shots to prove that either. So what they're looking at this stage is his mechanics, and they can recognize really solid mechanics. And sometimes, you know, you look at it and be like, all right, that guy had a really bad game. You know, his shot wasn't falling, but like his mechanics were good. And then you'll have a game like this where he goes 4-6 from deep, and you're like, okay, yeah, it makes sense why people have stayed positive, even though he's gone games where he hasn't knocked any down. And it just takes time for players like him. For me, Bazley, man, what a first quarter for Bazley, dude. 18 points, and not in the first quarter, I'm sorry, total for the game, but I think he put up 12 points in the first quarter and really helped us, you know, come out to a fast start. You know, that was something that was great to see. I'm a big fan of what he's been able to do recently, and there were times, there were stretches in this game where his shot wasn't falling, and he didn't lose confidence. He continued to shoot, and things turned around for him. One of his better games, but he's been on a stretch where most of his best games have come in a row. So this one doesn't stack up quite as good as his best ones recently, but it is still one of his better games. What did you think about his game?
Yeah, Bazley did great, man. Obviously, anytime that we can get him to play and put up 18 or 15-plus points, I feel like is a huge positive. Obviously, I would want to see him get more rebounds. But last night, there wasn't a lot of rebounds that were available to our guys just because of the size that Orlando went out with. So it's no surprise that we struggled with getting some boards last night. But speaking of boards, you had Roby with his double-double, 11 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, and 2 blocks. That stat line is really impressive, something to circle and say, you know, for me, it's not all about the points, it's what you can do. Because if you look at his 10 rebounds, 6 of them came from the offensive glass. So Isaiah was just all over the place last night, really proving that he deserves another year in the system to see what he can do. I'm really impressed with him. You know, you got Sar off the bench at 18 minutes, 4 points, you know, 4 rebounds. I thought he did well, but he had a tough matchup last night. It's not surprising that his points were down. He just did really good on defense when he was out there. Maladon, 21 minutes, 10 points, 2 blocks, 1 steal, 4 assists, and 5 rebounds. Great night for Maladon when he was out there, continuing to impress me. But again, I'm talking about Veet Krejci right now. His game is so fluent. His game is just something that's so nice and fun to watch, Mark. I get excited about him. He only had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 1 assist. But Mark, it's just this chill game that he plays with, that it's something that's refreshing. It's something that I'm wondering how long we're going to be able to see him play in the NBA for.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned a bunch of guys there, and I was impressed with Maladon and Krejci, definitely. And Roby, you know, you got to give him props because of the way he played in a difficult environment. But let's talk about the wings and the starting wings, or really the one and the two, Aaron Wiggins and Trey Mann. Wiggins has been a little rusty since he came back from injury. He only ended up with 2 points and 4 rebounds, 3 assists. But he was put in a position where it was a little bit different, because with Trey Mann starting more at the point guard, Aaron Wiggins was sort of the shooting guard, right? Because that's how it goes. But really, Poku brought the ball up a ton. So it really kind of shifted Aaron Wiggins to more like that small forward position. And it kind of like did this little shuffle. That might have been a little bit, but like I said, it's a little rust after, you know, that injury. Trey Mann, we weren't sure if we'd see him because he twisted his ankle at the end of the last game. but he came out here. He actually played really well. 13 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 steals. He got up a lot of shots. He shot 5 of 19, but that's all right. This is what we need when we don't have our stars out there. We need other players to do other things, and he was contested quite a bit. They really knew what they were doing with him. A Central Florida kid comes back home, and they're going to try to make sure they defend him at a high level. But overall, I thought this was a great game for, like, the whole team as a unit. You know, this, to me, I think about the way that the floor was spread. The ball was swinging from side to side. We were trusting the offense, and players were running it really smoothly, which seems strange to be so excited about, but we are, because that shows us when we get our stars back, they're going to come back into the system that's continued to develop. And this is really Coach Daigneault's vision, and we're seeing it happen with all the way down the roster.
Yeah, and it's not always fun to watch. It's painful to watch sometimes, but if you can see the future and understand what's happening in the future, it is fun to watch. And last night, recognizing that Baisley was our leading scorer for the season on the floor, and he was averaging 10.6 points a game, and we had no other players that were playing last night that had been averaging double figures on the floor last night, I felt like that was a big thing for us. 85 points isn't great at all, but considering who we had on the floor and how we were playing, I felt like it was great. So again, this is a really big moment for these guys. I don't feel like it's one of those losses that I'm going to look at and be like, it's a great loss. But I'm going to look at this loss and I'm going to feel positive vibes about it because of the way that we were able to play without our top three scorers out there.
Yeah, and we competed for 4 quarters, and that's the standard we have had all season. We want to win, but you can't control that sometimes. And this is what we look at. And, you know, we started out, we got up. And then in the 4th quarter, we started out that with, and we got a lead. And we had the biggest lead that the Magic held all night was 7. And our biggest lead was 8. So that just kind of shows you the back and forth of the game. And we appreciate these guys competing so hard and figuring out new roles and watching them grow into those roles. It really takes us back to that first year of the Thunder, when you start seeing glimpses and you're like, yeah, this team's record isn't very good, but damn, like, they've got some players out there that could really change the NBA. And we went on for a hell of a ride, and we're just looking at this and we're saying, what are the next signs of the next great team? And we're starting to see it. And a bit like the Magic, they have quite a bit of talent, and finding a way to get that talent to mesh is really the next step. We're in a situation where we found a way to mesh, but the teams we keep running out right now are, you know, very young. And when you run out young teams, that's going to happen. So, you know, we're happy. We're satisfied with what we saw, and we're ready to play the Celtics coming up tonight, bro.
Yeah. And then Orlando on the 23rd Wednesday. So back-to-back night, another reason why we could probably look at Shea sitting out. But looking at this, man, I don't see any of these games that I'm looking at would be like, oh, we must win. The only game I would say that would be fun to win would be maybe the Clippers, you know, like,
yeah.
Only if it benefited us by beating them. So other than that, man, I don't see any of these games that I circle and be like, oh, we should win these games. Like, even Detroit and Orlando again, like honestly, like, they're not those unbelievably important games, because we're just in right now a fight for top three spot for the draft. And to me, it doesn't really matter. So I'm excited about what's happening with this team. I'm excited about the future. But, man, what are you doing this week? You have any plans at all, going fishing at all?
Oh, yeah. I was hoping to get to go fishing today, but maybe tomorrow. We'll see what happens. I have a lot of, like, groceries to, like, unpack and stuff like that.
So nice.
It'll probably happen tomorrow.
You going back on the Delaware?
Yep. Going back up to Hancock to try to catch some brown trout. Yeah, we started this little, like, jar of, like, beans. If we catch a fish, we throw, like, a bean in there.
Oh, hell yeah.
So we're already at, we're 7 brown trout already for the year, and
nice.
Total of 9 fish.
So different pretty color beans, or?
Yeah. For each person, we'll kind of get their own.
Oh, nice. Cool.
So we're trying to keep track of who's leading. Right now, I'm tied for first.
Nice.
Of course.
That's pretty cool, man.
What about you guys? What are you up to?
I was thinking about taking the canoe out. I got family coming in next week, so I'm trying to figure out what's going on. But yeah, I want to take my canoe out because we got 70 degree weather most of the week. So
nice.
Yeah, take my Charles River out and get going.
Hell yeah, bro. But that sounds like fun, man.
Yeah, dude. So I don't know. We'll see what's up.
Where are you going to go? To the Susquehanna or what are you? Potomac?
No. I'll probably just take it up to one of the lakes up there. There's a lake called Clopper Lake. It's over by Gaithersburg. It's really easy lake to paddle around and has a huge wooden playground. So I know you remember playing on those wooden playgrounds as kids. So
yeah, absolutely. Not my dog. She's dreaming and she's whining right now. So I don't know what's going
on. Dude, I saw an Irish Setter the other day running.
Oh yeah, dude.
With the tail up.
Those are the
curl.
Best.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, Bella, there's an Irish Setter. She goes, how do you know it's an Irish Setter? I was like, well, first, it's all red. Second of all, look at its tail.
Yeah, dude. They're pretty cool dogs. We like our Irish Setter, that's for sure.
It's a good dog, man. So, anyways, but all right. Well, definitely looking forward to this next week in basketball. We've got 3 games, Boston, Orlando, and Denver on Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. We'll make sure that we jump on after those games. So you'll probably hear us on tomorrow, Thursday, and I don't know, Sunday, whatever we feel like it. So we'll be back. We appreciate you guys being around and just letting you guys know that this is the last storm.
Thanks again. And as always, this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.